As was earlier announced, the scripture reading this evening is coming from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. Again, that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. I read from the New American Standard Version. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him."
Good to be here again tonight. As always, we appreciate the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Christ and, of course, just to be here and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Where are you spiritually? What is your spiritual condition tonight? That is certainly a question that all of us need to ask ourselves from time to time. That's why the Bible often emphasizes the importance of self-examination. You might remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, turn over there for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 at verse 5, Paul writes, "Examine yourselves." And of course, it's important that we recognize that we're really the only ones that can accomplish this. Like, you might examine my life, but you may not come out with the truth. I might be deceptive or hypocritical. God, of course, knows exactly where I am spiritually and how I'm living my life. But other than that, we can't really depend upon other people to accomplish this. Nor can we rely on the feelings of other people and how other people think about us. It might be that you think I'm spiritually strong and alive and well, and yet in reality I may not be. I remember, keep your finger here at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, but you might remember the words of Jesus to the church at Sardis. Revelation chapter 3 is where we read about it. Revelation the third chapter. And notice at verse 1, the Bible says this, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God, that is, the Holy Spirit, and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." And so here was a local church that had a good reputation. The other local churches around about them thought that they were alive, that they were doing just fine. But Jesus, the one who really knew the truth, knew that they were in reality dead. And sometimes that's the way it is on an individual basis. And so as I stop and consider where I am spiritually, I can't rely just on what other people think or feel or what they say about me. We have to take the time to examine ourselves to see where we really are. And so Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And what he's really asking them to do there is determine if they are still faithful. He knows that they are God's children. He knows that they have already obeyed the gospel. And so they have entered into Christ. But now the question is, are you really faithful? Do you continue to live the way God would have you to live? And so examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ rather, is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Now let me tell you this about the Corinthians. They thought that they were just fine. They believed that they were right with God. And yet we find in reality they were not. Turn now over to 1 Corinthians, and we want to read a little bit here, study a little bit from this particular place. 1 Corinthians. And again, what we're going to find in this passage is that these saints at Corinth, really, they were in a mess spiritually. They had all kind of problems as a local church. And they had problems as a local church because they had problems individually. They were not in a good place spiritually. They were not where they should have been, but they thought they were. That's why Paul said later, examine yourself. You take the time to take inventory of your life to see exactly where you are spiritually. They needed that as much as anybody ever did. And before we start reading in chapter 3, look over at chapter 4. Just to show you that Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he gets a little sarcastic with these saints. He uses language that really is meant to shock them a little bit into realizing where they are spiritually. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 8, he says, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings, and would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. The we there is an apostolic we. Paul is referring to himself and the other apostles. And so he's saying, and you could just tell by reading this, he's being sarcastic. You're reigning. You all are kings. And notice how he piles that kind of language on here. Verse 9, he says, for I think that God has exhibited to us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst and so on. But notice there, Paul knew, and they would recognize as they listened to this. We're not kings. Oh, no, you, the apostles, are not weak and we strong. And they would quickly put together, he's being sarcastic. Because he wants them to see, you're not as great as you think you are. You're not where you think you are spiritually. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you'll notice that Paul really gets blunt with them about where they are spiritually. Now all of this is important to us because we too sometimes have to stop and make sure we are really where we think we are spiritually. We could be exactly where they were. The only way we can really know if we're as strong as we think we are or we need to be is if from time to time we look at ourselves honestly and sincerely. We examine ourselves with the blinders off to see exactly where we are. Or we might find ourselves in this kind of situation. Notice how blunt Paul gets with them. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1, he says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. Like, that would be shocking to these saints. Wouldn't it be shocking to you? If an apostle said to you, I can't even address you as a spiritual person. That's like a terrible situation. We should, as Christians, we should make sure that we are spiritual. We should want God to view us as spiritually minded people. And there's some in the church who think that they are there, but really they're not. And they haven't taken the time to really look at their own lives to see exactly where they are spiritually. And the Corinthians were like that. And so Paul says, I couldn't even address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. People of the flesh. Now, he's going to work on that here in these next few verses. And we need to make sure that we are not people of the flesh. The Greek word for flesh is sarx. And Paul uses it a lot. And when he does so, almost always, he's not talking about this that covers our bones. He's talking about the corrupt man, the inner man, who has become corrupt. And you remember we have preached many sermons on the idea that all of us really, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that means really is that we, our nature, we all have a corrupt nature, or at one time we did. Now, I'm not preaching Calvinism. They preach that you're born totally depraved with a corrupt nature. But you're not born like that. God created man upright. There are many passages that teach that. But we all did sin, and therefore our flesh became corrupt. Our nature became corrupt. But then we were born again. Then we obeyed the gospel of Christ. And Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, we became new creatures in Christ. Old things were passed away, and all things became new. Now, we have to make sure that we haven't slipped back to that old way of living. That we haven't become fleshly once again. But that's exactly what has happened with these individuals at Corinth. Paul said, I can't address you as people of the Spirit, but only as people of the flesh. Now, he continues, and notice this really has to do, he refers to them as being infants. And that's really what this is all about. If you are a person of the flesh, and I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to members of the church now, if that is the situation that you're in, you are spiritually immature. You're like an infant. And so Paul says, because of that, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready. And now, let me, when we really look at this, I said a moment ago, the Greek word for flesh is sarx. But then, in the Greek, they would add a few different suffixes to it, and it would mean a little bit different. This word in verse 1, where you see flesh there, it's sarkinos. And so nos is added to the end of that. And what it basically meant was that you think more, you're physically minded. You think more of physical things than you do spiritual things. And it's a sign of immaturity. And it's why he said, I could only write to you as people of the flesh. People who think more physically than spiritually. You don't think we have people like that in the body of Christ? We may have some members here, even tonight, who do that, who put a greater emphasis on physical things than spiritual things. What's more important to you? Your job, or being faithful and attending services like this? What's more important to you, your spiritual family or your physical family? What is it that you put an emphasis on? Do you think spiritually or do you think physically first? There's not a few among us that things in the physical realm take a higher priority than things that are spiritual. Why? Immaturity. And that's what Paul is accusing these brethren of at Corinth. And it's something you need to examine yourself. I need to examine myself. We're physical beings in the physical world, and it's very easy to drift back into a situation where our emphasis is placed on the physical instead of the spiritual. And we need to take inventory and make sure that's not the case. God should always be first. He doesn't want to be relegated to the back seat of our lives. Our jobs, our occupation, other physical things should never take priority over spiritual things. But it's a level of maturity. And you've heard me say many times before, now, there's nothing wrong. When he talks here about the fact that he could only feed them milk and not solid food, there's a time when that's okay with individuals because they're babes in Christ. But 5 years after you obey the gospel, you shouldn't have to still be on milk. 10 years after you obey the gospel, you should be able to take strong meat by that point. But they couldn't do that at court. Well, what a terrible accusation to a group of people who would view themselves as being very strong and almost invincible from a spiritual standpoint. Paul says, no, you're like babies who can't even take meat. I had to feed you milk. It wasn't a good situation. But obviously, they hadn't taken the time to examine themselves to see where they were so that they could do better. What about us? Where are you spiritually? Don't just answer that off the top of your head. We all should stop and say, okay, I'm going to figure out exactly where I am spiritually. Am I carnal? Am I fleshly? Do I think that physical things are more important than spiritual things in any realm? And if so, I need to do something about that. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you are fleshly like that, you're not going to stay in that spiritual condition. It's going to get worse. And that's what Paul says about these brethren at Corinth. Again, this all would be very shocking to them. And by the way, after they read this epistle from Paul, it seems as if they woke up a little bit. Because in 2 Corinthians, there's still a bunch of people who aren't living right and who Paul said refused to repent. But many of the saints at Corinth did, even to the point that they finally disciplined the immoral man of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And so the point of it is, they were paying attention when Paul wrote all of this. When they received the letter and read it. But when they first read this, it had to be shocking. We're not spiritual people. We're of the flesh. We're fleshly. We're infants in Christ. But it took them a while to change. And Paul, again, gets blunt. Notice the last part of verse 2 that we read. He says, and even now, you are not yet ready. Now, they're reading this. Keep in mind, most of you may know that Paul actually wrote 3 letters to the church at Corinth. We just don't have the first one. It was lost or whatever. Maybe I shouldn't say it was lost. Whatever, we don't have it. We know that. And so, in reality, 1 Corinthians is really 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians is really 3 Corinthians, because Paul wrote them previously. And that's what he is referring to here when he says that he couldn't address them as spiritual people. He was referring back to that first letter. So whenever he wrote that, they already were carnal, fleshly individuals. And now in this second epistle that he writes to them, he says, and even now you are not yet ready. So they didn't change all at once. It took them a little while. And so they're reading the second epistle and they hear Paul saying, you're still carnal. When are you going to do something about that? But he makes it a little bit worse. He says in verse 3, for you are still of the flesh. But he doesn't use the word sarkinos. He uses the word sarkikos, said, that word, remember that first word just means kind of to be, you have a fleshly nature. You have a nature similar to the flesh is what Greek scholars say that means. You're immature and you become a little physically minded. But this second word, sarkikos, means to be dominated by the flesh. Now he's accusing them of having a complete fleshly nature. It has overwhelmed them. And when they hear Paul say that, we don't know reading this in English, but when they hear those words, when they read those Greek words, they would know the difference immediately. And they would realize this second accusation of being of the flesh is much worse than the first. And what we need to realize is that often these two things, you find it in the same individual or individuals, because you never stay. If you're physically minded, if you're not a spiritual person and you're of the flesh, if you don't do something about that, you're going to drift further away from God. And sooner or later, instead of just being physically minded, you're going to find yourself dominated by the flesh. And the works of the flesh are going to be the things that are characteristic of you. And you can read Galatians chapter 5 if you want to read all about those works of the flesh. The characteristics that you would think, no one in the church would ever do these kind of things. He talks about fornication and drunkenness and all those kind of things. Well, that's what happens to the person who is fleshly, physically minded, maybe doesn't even realize it, because he never examines himself. He never takes inventory of his life. And he thinks he's just fine. But slowly, surely, it just gets worse and worse until the devil has that person completely. And he's dominated by the flesh. And that's exactly what happened with these individuals at Corinth. And there were signs of that happening. He says, you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Because they're not spiritual people. And when you begin to look up passages that, like the works of the flesh and other passages that list a bunch of sins, you always see things like jealousy and strife will be right there in the midst of the list. And that's what they were. And we continue. We don't have time now to read all of this. But you remember, they also demonstrated that fleshly nature, because there was divisions in the church and they were dividing over preachers. They had preacheritis. No, I'm better than you because the one who taught me is a better teacher than the one who taught you. I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas and all of that stuff. That was all carnal. And now Paul is being straightforward with them. I know where you think you are, but this is where you really are. I couldn't even write to you as spiritual people, but of the flesh. And you have gotten worse, not better. And so I ask you again, where are you spiritually? It's very important that we take the time to examine ourselves. Let us not sit back and say, well, yeah, but you know, we all know those Corinthians were terrible. They were just spiritually, they were full of pride and they didn't love each other, and there was division among them, and they were in error doctrinally on a few things, and we know they were in a mess. But don't just focus in on them, because we can be where they were at that particular time. And there are some in the church who are exactly where they are. The situations might be a little bit different. The characteristics that they manifest might be a little bit different. But they've become dominated by the flesh. Are you dominated by the flesh? Have you set your mind on the things of the Spirit? Are you walking after the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit, that is, through the word that the Spirit has been revealed? Well, I think so. That's not good enough. Examine yourself to make sure every day you are living according to God's word, following, walking after the Spirit. If you discover that, you're in great shape, and you just need to keep it up and keep on being faithful and keep on running the race of Christianity, and you'll go to heaven after a while. But if you're someone who is of the flesh, you'll just keep getting worse. It's not going to get better. It's not going to magically change. It's going to get worse and worse until you're dominated by the flesh. Let's make sure we're all growing. Can I read just one more passage that relates to the idea of growth? We've read it many times before, but in First Peter, Second Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 1. Second Peter, chapter 1. And this is the passage on growth, and we know and have read and even heard sermons on adding to your faith. And he lists all of these things that we should be adding to our faith, like virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love and all of these things. And by the way, when you examine yourself, that's some of the things, that's what you need to be looking at. Am I growing? Am I going forward? Because we're never going to just stay neutral. We're either going forward or we're drifting back, closer to being dominated by the flesh. And so as you examine yourself, ask you, am I growing? Am I adding to my faith? Am I a stronger Christian today than I was last year? Have I made progress? Am I going forward? But now watch the line after he talks about these things that we add to our faith, at verse 8 he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. You know what that sounds like to me? Someone who never examines himself. He's blind. Now, he's not adding these things to his faith. And he's nearsighted. He doesn't recognize it. He doesn't even realize he's drifting closer and closer to being completely dominated by the flesh. But on the other hand, if you will add these things to your faith, he says at verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling in election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall, because you'll be growing. And if you're growing in Christ, you're in good shape. That's what happens when you're walking after the Spirit, when you're walking by faith and not by sight, when you're placing greater emphasis on spiritual things rather than material things and carnal things and fleshly things. You're growing, and as long as you're growing, you'll never fall. But if you stop growing, now Don, you remember, I've been a Christian for 25 years. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You're not perfect. And there's no perfect people here. We should all be growing. And as long as you're growing, Peter says, you'll never fall. But if you're not growing and adding to your faith, you'll become nearsighted, blinded, and you will fall before you know it. And it might be you never really even recognize it. Wouldn't it be a shame that the first time you recognize that you've become carnally minded is when you stand before Jesus, before the great white throne? I don't want to be caught by surprise like that, do you? How do we avoid that? Examine yourself. See where you really are. Not where other people think you are, where you really are in Christ. And that you're growing and thriving as an individual. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you have never even obeyed the gospel. The devil certainly has you. You are dominated by the flesh right now. But you can break free from that. Remember what we said earlier? You can become a new creature in Christ. All things will become new. All of those old things, no matter what you did, no matter how horrific your sins may be or have been, no matter how numerous they may be, none of that matters. They can all be forgotten. They can all be cleansed, washed away by the blood of Christ. But you have to obey the gospel. Don't put that. That's so important. Don't put that off. You have the opportunity right here and right now tonight to put off that old man and to become a new creature, to become a child of God. If you have slipped, you need to get back on track. And because of the mercy of God, you can do that too. Repent and pray God. Ask Him for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you've been out there in the world sinning, come forward and we'll pray for you and encourage you and help you to be what you ought to be and to stay what you ought to, what in the condition you ought to be in. Why not do that tonight? There'll never be a better time. I hope and pray that you'll respond right now as we together stand and sing.